In the name of the Father, the vine dresser. In the name of the Son, the vine. In the name of the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. Amen. Well, there is no need to guess about who's who in today's gospel text. Right off, Jesus tells us that He is the vine and His Father is the gardener or the vine dresser. In addition to that, I would add that you and I are the branches. And we know about dead branches, don't we? They break easily from the main vine when a little pressure is applied. Or maybe they just fall off by themselves. They become so dead. So it is when we die spiritually. The least little pressure will break us off the vine, separate us from Christ and His Word and His church. But when we feed on the Word from Holy Scripture, we remain green and alive, attached securely to the vine, which is Christ, the Word made flesh. We, the branches, begin to bear fruits that give evidence of our faith in Christ. We bear the fruits of repentance and faith that give thanks and prayer to God. But if a branch bears no fruit, it is of no use to God the Father, the gardener. The gardener cuts the dead branches off and throws them into the fire. The gardener, God the Father, casts spiritually dead people who bear no fruits of repentance and faith into the fires of hell. But the branches that remain alive bear fruit, and they will receive God's special attention. And God's special attention is known as pruning. From Hebrews 12, verses 5 and 6. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when He rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those He loves, and He punishes everyone whom He accepts as a son. Our Heavenly Father prunes us by disciplining us and punishing us. Being a Christian, dear ones, is hardly ever giggles and banana splits. Being Christian makes us vulnerable to pruning. And pruning hurts. We don't like these special sessions where God prunes us. Maybe it is that God wants us to give up something our flesh really loves. Maybe it is the love for money or sex or food or drink or drugs or even love for ourselves. Pride. Our pride. God wants to take away. God prepares us for service to Him by breaking our pride as only He can. God loves a broken and contrite heart. He will not despise a broken and a contrite heart. Being born in sin and in rebellion against God, we gravitate toward things that we fear, love, and trust more than we fear, love, and trust in God. But God is a jealous God, you see. He tells us in the Scriptures that He is jealous. I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love and kindness to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Being jealous, God won't let us keep anything that we love more than Him. Thanks be to God for that. Everything that does not come from faith in God is sin. Romans 14, 23. God wants everything that we do to come from faith in Him. And if we have faith in Christ's Word, Jesus tells us in our text today, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you can ask for anything, and it will be given to you. Sounds pretty nice, right? anything. But dear ones, what things do Christians ask for? Things of this world, new cars, money, diamonds. Oh, he gives some of those things. But no, that's not what we ask for. Christians value things that are not seen. Things that have otherworldly value. Things of the heart. Things that have to do with faith, hope, and love for God, and love for our fellow man. From Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. As people of faith, as spiritual people, we ask for things that usually aren't seen or known by the senses or the world. From Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, dear ones, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. So far the reading. These are the things that are important to us, spiritual things. And of the spiritual things that are important to us Christians comes first the spiritual welfare of our children. Our children. So many of whom are going astray in this secular, unspiritual, pop culture, contemporary world that only lives for itself in the here and in the now. This is not Mother's Day or Father's Day, but in this sermon, I urge you, moms and dads, to remember the day of your child's baptism. You weren't just playing church that day. God was present. You made some promises to God that day to raise your child in the way he should go, to teach him or her to believe in God and fear, trust, and love in God above all things. And you didn't always keep those promises perfectly. You know that. Maybe he or she didn't turn out exactly the way that you want him to turn out. And maybe thanks be to God for that. But the important thing is not that you didn't keep your promises perfectly or that your child is not perfect. The important thing is that God made some promises to you that day. And God always keeps his promises perfectly. So, dear ones, call on the promises of God made to you and to your child the day of his baptism. God placed his name on your child that day, and with that name comes the promise of forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. No matter how far astray your child has gone, no matter what he has done, no matter how bad it is and was, no matter how many times he or she did it or continues to do it, God made the promise of forgiveness to your child through his son Jesus Christ. Moms and dads, I urge you to keep praying. Grandmoms and granddads, I urge you to keep praying. I've often said through the years, one of the main reasons that God gives us children is so that we'll always have something to pray for. And we always do. To the day that we die, we always pray for our children and our grandchildren. Keep praying, moms and dads. Keep praying, grandmoms and granddads. Call on God's promises against God. God wants you to remind him of his promises. You could say to God, God, you promised me that day that this is your baptized child. when things don't look so good to you, you can call on Him and say, God, You promised me that day that this is Your baptized child. And He wants you to call on Him and to depend on Him. Your prayers offered by faith in Christ are God-pleasing fruit. Pray and urge your child to repent and to believe as we all repent and believe. So, you and me, we who are the branches, you who are kept spiritually alive by Christ, as you abide in His Word, take comfort. Take comfort in the promises of God. There is no other comfort to be found. The promises of God made in Christ are our only comfort. Take comfort in the Word of God. Know the Word, because the Word is Christ. Attend worship services. Read the Scriptures. Attend Bible class and Sunday school and classes that offer the opportunity to know the Word. Because when you know the Word made flesh, Christ. Do your daily devotions. Live in the Word of God. And be bold always to pray God's promises back to Him. Pray, as I often do, that the Lord will help you to pray. Sometimes we need help praying. Pray constantly, knowing that your prayers are acceptable to God in Christ. Live in the Word and believe in His Son as your Savior. Keep praying, because your prayers offered by faith in Christ are God-pleasing fruit. If you remain in His Word, you remain in Him, and He remains in you. In the name of the Father, the gardener, the vine dresser, in the name of the Son, the vine, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Pray, pray, pray. When you can't do anything else, pray. When you can do something else, pray. Always pray. And sometimes you need help praying, as I do. And so I ask you now to stand, and we'll sing the Te Deum, page 223, the Te Deum.